you really get the feeling of it's a city that's lived in. It's a city to be lived in rather than a city to be worked in or a city that serves a function. It's a city that exists for people.
Welcome to One Day in Vienna. Our guest today, Theresa Alsop.
Name, Theresa Alsop. Geburtsland, Großbritannien. Ankunft in Wien, 2019. Familienstand, ledig. Beruf, Freelance Copywriter.
I'm your host, Lauren Loewe, and welcome to this podcast where we're going to be uncovering those memorable anecdotes about this magical city that, let's face it, we all love and hate in moments. The expats featured on this show will be enlightening us as to how they navigated becoming a local in Vienna, often with a splattering of hilarious culture clashes to boot. Hello and welcome to One Day in Vienna. Today I am with Theresa Alsop, who is a freelance copywriter from actually my neck of the woods near Bath. You're from Salisbury and I'm from Bath.
Yes, hello. I am. Yeah, hi, nice
welcome.
To be here.
Thank you. So the first question we really like to ask people is, what brought you to Vienna?
So I grew up, my mum is Austrian, so I grew up actually spending a lot of time in Austria, and I'm very lucky I have dual citizenship. So for me, when I went to university, and so I studied German and Italian with politics, and as part of your studies, when you study languages in England, you have to do a year abroad. For me, it was kind of a no-brainer. I chose to come to Vienna.
And when was that?
That was, so I did my year abroad, well, it started in 2019, and was then cut short at the beginning of 2020. But I managed, luckily, to do my 6 months in Vienna. So my German-speaking part. And I was an intern. I interned at a language school. And basically, in those 6 months, I realized that I knew I wanted to move here.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of, for me, I realized what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be after graduating. And that was a really nice position to be in, I suppose. And yeah.
So it was kind of love at first sight. I feel like I'm completely right in this
city. Pretty much. I know it's really cliche.
We just don't hear that often. That's why it's so brilliant. Yeah.
I think a lot of people say that they came to Vienna and they loved it here and they wanted to stay. I mean, I know so many expats who maybe move here for work, and so many of them want to stay.
Yeah.
Because it's just the quality of life. Everything here is, I mean, for me personally, better than it was in the UK, at least for my qualifications and what I wanted to do.
Definitely. And in this podcast, we like to ask people about a memorable day or a special day. It can be your first day or just a day that really stands out for you as a kind of milestone day of your experience in Vienna. Could you talk us through yours?
Yeah, I would probably say actually it wasn't my first day. It was my first day alone in Vienna. So when I moved here, my family and my mom and my brother came out with me just to, you know, for them a little holiday and to help me settle in, and the obligatory trip to IKEA and, you know, making sure everything in my apartment works. And I was so keen for them to leave so I could finally be on my own. And then eventually I woke up and I was on my own here. And I thought, my God, I have all the time in the world to do what I want to do for this weekend until I had to start work. What am I going to do with myself? So, you know, I ticked off quite a lot of the touristy things already, I think. So I thought, well, I live here now. I'm going to see what it's like to live like a local. And I grabbed my camera, which is not very locally, I suppose, of me.
I don't know.
And I kind of had no plan. I wandered around. I had a vague idea in my mind. And, you know, I went to my local supermarket across the road and I bought bread in large quantities because the bread here is so good. And I remember I walked around the city, especially in the city center. And at that time, I didn't yet have a mental map of the city, which I think when you live anywhere, you kind of build a mental map of the city in your brain. And I didn't have that yet. And I kind of didn't realize how compact Vienna is. Really, it's very walkable. And so I managed to walk from one side of the city center to the other in like half an hour. And I thought, this can't be right. I must have taken the wrong turn somewhere. And so I pulled out my phone and I'd done all the highlights. And I thought, is that it? Really? But then I kind of did a bit of Googling and I realized there's so much more to the city than the touristy areas in the city center. In fact, I would argue the best parts of Vienna are outside of the ring, where you get the local experience, but there are so many attractions outside that kind of fly under the radar a bit. And when you visit those, that's when you kind of feel a bit more like a local.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So what did you do? What did you see?
So I walked along these streets here. I came to the Stephansdom and I went past, I went up Graben to Kohlmarkt to the Hofburg, and I admired all those beautiful shops along there.
that you never shop
that
in.
I will never enter.
Don't even feel comfortable entering them.
I felt bad walking past them. But just the view as you walk down Kohlmarkt with the beautiful Hofburg, it's very famous, but I kind of got shivers. I couldn't believe I live here. And the cobbled streets, and you hear the horses with the carriages. It's very atmospheric. And you realize this is the sound, the everyday sound of a city. It's something that people who live here, they hear every day, which was pretty cool. I ended up then past the opera. I walked along the Ringstrasse. I saw the Karlskirche, the St. Charles Church, which has a very different architecture to this one, which I found was very interesting. And I ended up in Café Schwarzenberg, which, and I plonked myself down there and I sat there, and I don't drink coffee, which I know is a faux pas.
I know
it's my biggest failing as a Viennese, but I had a cup of tea, and even though it was like mid-August, and I sat and people watched, and it was very, I don't know, serendipitous, I suppose. I was excited but nervous, and I think as I sat there, people watching and trying not to draw attention to myself from the waiters, because they can be a bit intimidating sometimes.
Yes.
I sat there for a while. Afterwards, I think I got on the tram and I went to the Donauinsel.
Die Donauinsel ist eine künstlich angelegte Insel inmitten der Donau. Sie wurde zur Regulierung des Hochwassers gebaut und dient heute als Freizeit- und Erholungsgebiet für die Bewohnerinnen Wiens. Hier kann man spazieren gehen, joggen, Radfahren, grillen, schwimmen, Wassersport betreiben oder einfach nur die Natur genießen, in den sogenannten FKK-Bereichen sogar nackt. Die Insel ist öffentlich leicht zu erreichen und besonders im Sommer ein beliebtes Ziel, um dem städtischen Trubel zu entfliehen und das Leben am Wasser zu genießen.
I love it there. You can walk for miles and miles. There's so much nature. And again, I sat there by the river and I kind of marveled at how you can have a bathing place in the middle of a city, which I think, again, is quite unique. You can, you know, throw on your swimming costume after work and go swimming after work in really clean,
just
sanitary
like
water.
I know.
Which is what I did the next day, incidentally. Yeah.
So it was special for you because you felt like, okay, this is my new life. This is what everyday life can be like.
Yeah,
for me.
I was finally a local and not a tourist, which is a very exciting feeling. I think it probably took me a little bit longer than that to feel like an actual local. I think I felt a bit like an imposter sometimes. But once you start getting annoyed at tourists, then I think you realize you're a local.
So what are some of your favorite places in the city?
I actually now have to say I love the Prater. For me, it's just this kind of retreat. Kind of, I'm not actually really a city person. Nature's really important to me, so I love going for runs there. I love going cycling there, or sit there with a picnic blanket and a book and just chill out. Really, honestly, for me, that's where I would spend my evenings after work, or my weekends when it's nice. Or I love that there are so many people going for walks, and families and people with their dogs. I mean, if you go running there on Sunday morning, there's more dogs than people, I think. But you really get the feeling of it's a city that's lived in. It's a city to be lived in, rather than a city to be worked in, or a city that serves a function. It's a city that exists for people.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Exactly. It is. It's a city for people. So you've mentioned that your mum's Austrian. So obviously you speak German fluently. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I do now.
Okay.
But when I first came here, it wasn't fluent. I mean, I studied it at school.
Okay.
And I was studying it at university.
But you study German?
I studied German.
Right, so that's different.
Yeah. And I spoke quite a lot at home. But I kind of always took for granted that I could speak German. I probably didn't put as much effort into the grammar and stuff at school. And so when I actually had to come and speak the language and write in the language, it was trickier than I anticipated. And I have to say, I think now, you know, my working language is German. I do speak a lot of German in everyday life with my colleagues and my friends and whatever. And I still find myself struggling with tenses or adjective endings and, you know, all these things. What comes after a preposition? What case is this? So, you know, it's
It's not instinctive.
It comes more and more instinctively the more you do it. But for me, I still struggle sometimes. I get sort of this feeling that I've hit a wall. Have I hit a wall? Am I not getting better? And I'm sure I am, because people can't tell that I'm not Austrian when I speak to them, which is a milestone. Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, when you can make jokes in another language and, you know, you can dream in another language or whatever, you know, you're there. But I still get imposter syndrome. I still desperately think, oh my God, everyone knows that I'm a foreigner.
Well, you're half. Like, everyone, you're half English, half Austrian.
Accent, I think, you know. So, but in fact, probably the biggest tip there is just to relax, because no one judges you for it, especially in Vienna, where there is so many people whose first language is not German. It's so normal here for someone to have an accent and to not speak German properly, and everyone is accepting. No one cares, and they shouldn't care. Because it's really a brave thing to do.
Definitely. And also, as you mentioned, it's not an easy language to learn.
No.
That's the point.
No.
Even if you're raised with it around you, it's still a challenging language. It's not simple.
You know?
You'll forever be learning German, I have the feeling.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I learn something new a lot. Yeah, that's the nice thing, is every day I might learn something new about the German language, and a new turn of phrase or a funny little word or something, and that I've never heard before, and I go, oh God, I got to make a mental note of that or something. And you know, you forget these things, but I feel like it's a constant process, and like it is with any language.
But do you
really
love German?
Yeah,
is it? Yeah.
It's very comforting to me somehow, and it's a funny language, isn't it? I think it's, so many people think it's a very kind of harsh sounding language. I think it just has, unfortunately, a lot of kind of negative associations with it, because German people aren't harsh or scary, you know, and in fact, the German language is quite cute sometimes, you know, there are so many cute little words.
So tell us some of them. That's what we also ask people. What are your favorite Austrian German words, or German words? We don't mind, but.
I love for gloves, Handschuhe, handshoes.
Handschuhe sind Kleidungsstücke, die Hände schützen und warm halten. Sie bestehen aus Wolle, Stoff oder Leder und bedecken die Handflächen sowie die Finger. Handschuhe dienen dazu, die Hände vor Verletzungen, Kälte, Hitze, Chemikalien oder Verschmutzungen zu schützen. Sie werden in verschiedenen Bereichen eingesetzt, darunter Arbeit, Sport, Medizin und Mode. Dabei können sie unterschiedliche Funktionen erfüllen, wie Griffigkeit, Isolierung, Fingerfertigkeit oder Hygiene.
As opposed to coming up with a new word for gloves, they went the same thing you wear on your feet, but on your hands. I love Glühbirne, glowing pair for light bulb. There's so much imagery with it.
That's so true. I've never thought of that one. Glühbirne. Oh, that's beautiful.
I think the German language is very poetic in that way. There's so much imagery. It's very visual. You know, I know it has a bit of a reputation for stacking loads of words together to make a new one. But I think it's kind of fun.
It's utilitarian, but it's also descriptive and very visual. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if someone says a Glühbirne, I imagine a glowing pear and you're there, aren't you?
True.
Really. There's lots of these similar words, and I think they're just really lovely.
And you're actually relatively fresh in the city, I have to say. So you've only been here a few years.
Yes. Yeah.
So you've come at a great time, I think. It's a brilliant time to be in Vienna.
Yeah.
What advice would you give any expat who is moving here, who's like, oh, want to move to Vienna? What's the first piece of advice that you'd give them?
I know a lot of people say, oh, you have to learn German. And I do think you should always make an effort to learn the language anywhere you are. But here people are like, they're quite forgiving. I would say walk around a lot, because it's a walkable city and you know, you discover so much more that way. When you're walking, look up at the buildings.
Aww.
Because the facades are often really beautiful. And if you've got your eyes glued to your phone and your maps on your phone or whatever, you're missing so much more. So I think that's definitely one thing. Probably also, the Viennese have a bit of a reputation for being grumpy. I would say don't take it personally.
That's great advice. Yeah.
You know, I think, for example, maybe especially if you don't have such a good grasp of German, you're trying, and it can feel really disheartening when a waiter is a bit sarcastic to you or the shopkeeper is really brusque with you. Don't take it personally, I think, because at the end of the day, no one's going to remember the mistake you've made apart from you. And if they are a bit grumpy, that's kind of almost the charm of the place is when you finally, finally get a smile out of someone. It's all that more rewarding. Yeah.
So you're half Austrian, but I'm guessing you might have had a few culture clashes here in the city.
Definitely. Yeah.
Could you tell us a few of them, please?
I think nothing can, you know, even having part citizenship can't really prepare you for what it's like to live somewhere independently. And coming from the UK, there's a reputation in the UK that we're very good at queuing.
Yes.
And one thing that really shocked me, and I remember sending photos to my friends when I first moved here, is in the U-Bahn, they would have dedicated sections on the platform and to tell you to stand to the side, to let everyone else come out first and you wait to go in. And I couldn't believe that that is something that has to be told to people, because in Britain, it is just the most obvious thing in the world that you stand in a queue and you wait. And here, people are a little more impatient. They wouldn't just wait for everyone to come off the tube.
I feel the sense of urgency
there
with
is,
the elderly population here is bizarre.
Yes.
You're like, don't worry, honey, you're the first. You're definitely getting on.
Don't worry.
And people are still getting off and they're like, I'm coming in.
Yeah. If someone's going to give up their seat for you, like, it's fine. Maybe it's a generational thing a bit more. I'm not sure at all. But yeah, so that was one thing. Yeah, another cultural shock I had was, it's just a little thing, but in the UK, it's quite common to cross a road if there's no cars coming, even
jaywalking.
If it's a red man. Yeah. As they say in the US, jaywalking. And here, it's like a deadly sin to do that. You don't cross the road if there's a red man, especially if there's someone standing with their children there.
So true.
And I did it a couple of times because I didn't think, I just looked both ways. There was
Teresa.
No cars coming. There were no cars coming for miles. And I, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to use my brain here, right? Because unless I get hit by a plane, there's not much danger to me at the moment. And I remember people staring at me, giving me daggers. And I felt like I'd just sort of, I felt really bad about it, and I didn't realize that it's actually illegal here. You can get fined quite heavily for it if the police catch
you. €100 or something,
right?
Really? Yeah.
And I think most, it's more of a social thing. They don't want young children to see it and to learn this bad habit. So now I don't do it anymore. But the first couple of times I did it, until I mentioned this to someone, like a local, and they went, well, yeah, because it's not allowed. And I went, well, yeah, but you're not supposed to do it. But, like, you know, everyone does. And they go, no, it's not allowed. And I went,
it's against the rules.
Yeah,
you don't do
and
this.
That's the thing. They love the rules. The Austrians love their rules.
That's so true. Yeah. I also have to be honest, as an English person, I still jaywalk all the time. As long as there are no small children around, I almost get a secret pleasure from it, which I would never get at home because it's just so normal.
Well,
you know?
I don't want to admit this on camera, but
yes.
You can take the girl out of England.
Exactly. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your lovely story about becoming a local in Vienna.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Auf Wiederhören.
You love Vienna too and want to learn German? Innes Vienna will get you there. Vienna's best language school offers a variety of courses and trainings at different levels, at different times, and at different intensities. All information about Innes Vienna and today's guests can be found in the show notes. And there we also explain all other German words, terms, and Viennese areas from this episode. Thanks for listening. Auf Wiederhören.